Take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. And I don't always stick to the theme of the day, you know, whether it's a holiday or whatever, you know that. Sometimes I just preach, or pretty much always try to preach just what the Lord's got on my heart. But sometimes just, you know, just go on and preach, you know, what series we're in or what book we're in or whatever. And sometimes it has absolutely nothing to do with whatever holiday it is. And all across the country this morning, there'll be Mother's Day messages and things like that. And so we'll get the same thing here. I'm thinking about Mother's Day and just the thoughts of the day. The Lord's kind of give me some thoughts and concerning the day, concerning motherhood. And want to preach to you what the Lord's put on our heart and pray it'll be a blessing and help to you. And so we're going to look in really at two chapters. We're going to look at Mark chapter 6, and then we're going to look at Mark chapter 7. And so, but we'll start off in Mark chapter 6. And so we'll read some verses here. And when you find your place at Mark 6, I'll ask you to stand if you're physically able to. And we'll reverence the reading of the Word of God, the King James Bible. Praise the Lord. And so we'll reverence the reading of the Word of God, and you pray for us as we try to preach this morning out of Mark chapter 6. Look there, starting in verse number 17. Mark chapter 6, verse number 17. The Bible says, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." Now, I just want to say right here, Herod would not have put his hands on John on his own. The Bible says he did it for Herodias' sake, his wife's sake. Verse 18 says, "For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Now there you go. Herod married, got messed up with his brother's wife. And that woman was married to his brother. But then they got together, and John was not even talking to Herodias. He was talking to Herod about it. He was preaching to Herod. But it filled her with so much hate for that man of God. She, you know, spent the rest of John's life, you know, trying to get him killed, and did get him killed then. And so I would say the rest of her life, but it was the rest of his life because she got him killed first. And so verse number 19 says, "Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist." Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be in your house. And Lord, I thank you for the good songs that's been sung already and the good fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that you've brought to your house this morning. And Lord, for our visitors that are here. And Father, I pray that you'd bless them and help them. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us all eyes to see and ears to hear this morning. The natural man receiveth not these things. They're spiritually discerned. And so, Lord, we know that it takes the sweet Holy Spirit of God, Lord, to open the hearts and minds of man to receive spiritual things and receive the Word of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that work deep within our souls that only you can do. I pray that you'd get down to the hearts of each individual that's here this morning and reach the places that we cannot reach, open the doors that we cannot open. And Lord, that your word, Lord, the seed of the word of God, as it is sown this morning, it would find good ground in the hearts of men, that it could take root and bring forth fruit unto salvation, Lord, unto service, unto good works. Lord, whatever the work is you want to be done and accomplished in our lives, Lord, I pray that your word would do that. And that you would help us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers, Lord, the good, godly mothers, Lord, you've put in our lives, and Lord, how you've blessed us. And Lord, we'll all praise you and honor you for all that you do, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And amen. I want to preach to you this morning, really, I guess, kind of a contrast here, because you see a very, very stark contrast between the lady, the mother, that is mentioned here in Mark chapter 6, and she's very much so contrasted with the mother that's mentioned in Mark chapter 7. And we'll deal with her here in just a few minutes. And so I kind of want to deal with that contrast and look really at the difference in modern motherhood and Bible motherhood or godly motherhood. Because I believe in Mark chapter 6, we see just almost a perfect picture of what modern motherhood would be, you know, in the Bible. Now you'd say, well, if it's modern motherhood, it's not the Bible. Well, it is. It's what we see right here is just as modern and just as applicable, and what we're seeing today is, you know, what it was right then. This is nothing new. And so the modern mother, the modern woman, modern motherhood, and the ideas, the philosophies behind modern motherhood, we'll see right here in Mark chapter 6. And we see that in this woman named Herodias. Now, there's no indication here, none whatsoever, that Herod was a believer. No indication, far as I know, in the Bible where he ever got saved. No indication where he ever received the Lord and his life was changed. I mean, he was the king here, and he, you know, he went on living a wicked life. But even though there's no indication he was a believer, he did respect the preacher. He did have a respect for the man of God. And he even received the man of God and enjoyed hearing him preach. And the Bible says he even was trying to do some of the things that John said to do and not do. So whenever the preacher was preaching, Herod was gladly receiving what he was saying and was enjoying the preaching and even shaking his head and saying amen to the preaching. Yes, sir, that's right. And the Bible says he was even trying to do some of those things. He was probably trying to clean up his life some. And he was not a saved man, but he respected the man of God, and he was moving in God's direction. The man of God, the preacher, had a hold on him, and he was moving him in God's direction. That's a good place to be. Amen. You might be here this morning, and you're not saved. I mean, you may be religious, may have been in church, in and out of church a lot, but you might not be saved by the grace of God. But the fact that you're here this morning, if you'll receive what the preacher says and receive the Bible and say amen to the truth and receive the truth and agree with God over yourself, you're moving in the right direction. Amen. You might not be there yet, but God's got a hold on you and He's moving you in the right direction. That's where Herod was. So he was not saved, no indication he was a believer, but he was moving in God's direction. However, he was tied to a wicked woman. It was a wicked woman that hated the preacher, hated the man of God, hated the truth, hated the Word of God, and she is a pretty good picture of the modern woman, modern mothers, modern womanhood. I say today we've come to a time where if you're out on the street, whether it's preaching, witnessing, doing the Lord's work, or just in day-to-day life, I'm about to fall over here, just in day-to-day life, you will hear more cussing and you'll hear more opposition today from women than what you will men. Back years ago, it was the boys chasing the girls. It's flipped around now. It's the wicked girls chasing the boys. And you'll get more opposition. I have found in my short time in the ministry, my short Christian life that I've been living in trying to stand for God and witness and do things for the glory of God, I have found and you will find that you'll get more opposition from wicked women than you will from men. They will cuss you, and they will be spiteful, and they will get angry, and they'll do all they can to run you off and shut down what the Lord is trying to do. They'll do everything they can to try to shut up the preacher, and that really is kind of how Herodias was. And I tell you, I've seen times where men will shrink and shrivel and cower and dry up spiritually, and after so long, they'll finally come to the preacher, come to church, and they'll say, we just don't really feel like it's the Lord's will for us to be in this church anymore. I just feel like the Lord's moving us somewhere else. What they really mean is, they don't really mean God wants them to leave. What they mean is that Herodias they're married to wants them to leave. They've been coming to church and they've been enjoying the services. They've been saying amen to the preaching. They agree with the truth. But every time they leave, Herodias is in their ear, running down the preacher, running down the house of God, running down the man of God, running down the truth. They're tied to a wicked woman just like Herod is. Amen? And it's the type of woman that wants to raise her daughter without reining her in. It's the type of woman that wants to raise her sons without reining them in. And I believe with all my heart there are men sitting in churches all over America this morning that they cannot stand. They don't like the music. They realize that what's going on there is wicked. They don't like the smoke screens and the hippie music praise team leaders. Amen. They don't like the carnality in the youth department. They don't like the lowering of the standards. They don't like the throwing out of the Word of God. They don't like the pulpit ministry. And it grieves them to their core. But they're sitting there that this morning because they are yoked up with a wicked woman. And she won't have it any other way. He's got a Herodias in her life. Is everybody with me this morning? Can everybody say amen? Is this the truth or is this not the truth? Amen? And she's a picture of what the world would call modern motherhood. See, now some women, you need to understand, and you single men really need to listen to me. There are some women out there in this world today that would wreck every man of God in this country if they could. Every man of God, they would wreck them and wreck you if they could. So I say this, if the woman you're married to, if the woman you're sitting next to this morning, if she is glad that you're here, and she's glad you carry a King James Bible, and she's glad that you are trying to lead your home right for the glory of God, and she desires you to be in the house of God, and she's glad and thankful that you're serving God, and glad that you're following the Lord in your life, you ought to just grab her hand and squeeze it a little tighter and thank the Lord for the woman that God gave you, because she is glad that you're serving the Lord and promotes you serving the Lord, and she's not trying to get you off course and off track and out in the world somewhere. Amen? And so praise God for a godly wife and a godly mother that doesn't want the man of God to die, but wants the man of God to be a success in what he's doing for the Lord. Amen? And so a lot of men, they'd say, well, I'd stand for God anyways. If I had a Herodias, I'd stand for God. Well, I don't know about all that. I don't know about that. When the pressure is on and the fire is hot and things are rough at home and you're hearing it all the time and the pressure's on you, it'd be a lot harder than what you think. You would be very limited in what you could do for God. Very limited. You'll be limited in your prayer life. You'll be limited in your service to the Lord. You'll be limited in your obedience to the Word of God. You'll be limited in how you raise your children. You will be very limited spiritually. Now look in verse number 1. The Bible says, or verse 21 says, and when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of said Herodias, I like how it says that, of said Herodias. It's not some other woman. It was the one it's this one that we've been talking about the whole time. Of the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced, and pleased Herod and them that sat with them, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. You know, whenever I read that, I think to myself about all the godly young ladies that I meet and that I see, or that we meet, that we see in churches all over America. Back whenever we were in evangelism, traveling a lot, and whenever we go to church camp and things like that, and the churches that we go to, and the girls, the godly, pretty teenage young girls that are, saved and serving the Lord and glad to serve the Lord and excited about what they're doing, and excited about the things of God. And I think about, this girl here, she had a wicked mother. And whenever it was time to dance to please the men, she knew exactly what to do. And now they've got these young girls that have grown up in churches, and they've been taught right, and they've got a good mother to teach them to be a lady, to teach them to be a godly lady. Now, if you was to ask one of them to dance to please a man, they wouldn't know what in the world to do. They wouldn't know what part of their body to gyrate, and they wouldn't know which part to throw here and what part to throw there and what part to make shorter and what to unbutton and what to loosen and what to tighten. They wouldn't know what to do. Now, Herodias' daughter did know what to do. She knew how to dance so well that it got the king's motor running so much, he was ready to give up half his kingdom. And that's a skill that's not learned by accident. Amen. By the way, young godly girls, they don't learn to serve the Lord by accident either. They got to have a godly mother, godly parents that'll put them in the path of Christ and teach them the ways of the Lord. Amen. And I think about these godly young ladies, some of them that we've met that are a real blessing, and how, you know, you could get them up before a bunch of men, and they could quote scripture, and they could sing a spiritual song, and they could play a spiritual song, and they could take the Bible and lead someone to the Lord. But whenever it comes to dancing to please a man, they wouldn't know what in the world to do. However, Herodias' daughter did. And you say, well, how in the world did she learn to dance like that? Well, she didn't learn by accident, I'll tell you that. Evidently, she had a mama who was putting her in dance lessons. Evidently, she had a mama who was putting her before the things of the world. Evidently, she had a mama who was interested in her daughter being popular and doing whatever it took to be popular and accepted and received of the world. Evidently, she had a mother that promoted all the Disney girls on the Disney Channel and promoted all the undressing, all the getting attention, all these things. You know, the Bible does mention, I know where we're at in society today, and I know this is real controversial, and I know this is real judgmental to say this, but do you know that the Bible does say there is such a thing as the attire of a harlot? That is a thing. That is a thing. The Bible does say that specifically. Amen. And so evidently, there is some attire that's the attire of a harlot. Now, some will say, well, modesty, it's all in the heart, and it's all just a heart issue, and you know, it's between you and the Lord. Well, not according to the Bible. Evidently, there is some line to be drawn somewhere. Evidently, there is some things you should wear and some things you shouldn't wear. Amen? And Herodias' daughter was taught from her youth up how to please a man, how to get the attention of a man, how to present herself provocatively. Amen? And she was taught that by her mother in deed and in actions and in lifestyle and what she observed. Amen. She knew what to do to please these men. Amen. You know, that's pretty much modern motherhood. You look around and you see all these mothers, and it breaks my heart. It really does. A lot of these children coming up have got no chance. They have got not a chance in the world. If somebody doesn't step in their life and get them to Jesus, they don't have a chance. Parenting today and mothers today, I see them putting their daughters on all these dance teams. I remember this was last year. Maybe 2 years ago. It was at the Christmas parade here in Amory. And of course, they have all the floats and everything going down. And they have the school bands and stuff. Out of nowhere, here comes this group of young girls. I mean, they could not have been older than 14 years old. It could not have been older than that. And they came down that street. Now, this is at the Christmas parade in the middle of winter. And they were wearing so little. And they were dancing so provocatively, I literally could not believe sometimes I get to the point where I think nothing surprises me anymore. But then I saw this group of young girls, probably 30 of them. And they evidently were from some dance studio. And they, you know, learned this dance to do. And I'm telling you, man, you will see more at a Christmas parade than what you used to have to pay to get in a dirty magazine years ago. I mean, and it blows my mind. And you know what? Some mother out there signed them up for that and put them in that and promoted that and said, this is a good thing. That's where Herodias was. That was Herodias' daughter. I want you to turn over. Well, no, I'm not going to turn there right now, but I just want to say, you know, you need to be very careful what we expose our children to as mothers. And by the way, I don't want to exclude any goodly part of the congregation here. This isn't just to mothers. This is anyone that is a mother or could be a mother, will be a mother, or anyone that could possibly have some impact on a child's life. Hey, we need to be pointing children to Jesus. Amen. Now, look at verse number 23. Verse number 23. We learn verse 21, 22. She evidently was on the dance floor long before this birthday party. But in verse 23 it says, "And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it to thee unto the half of my kingdom." Now, men need to listen up here. Especially young men, single men, not married. You have the right old gal come along that's wise in the ways of this world. And you will give up career and ministry and future and your bank account and even your honor for the right one. The right one that hits you just right and gets you going just right. There's a lot of men that's given up everything for the right woman. And when I say the right one, I mean the wrong one. A girl that is wise in the ways of the world, she will plow you over, buddy. She will plow your row. I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. I was reading this just last week. And then whenever I was preparing to preach this message, this chapter came back to my mind. Look in Proverbs chapter 7. I'm going to read almost the whole chapter, but we'll start in verse number 6. It says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way of her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart." Now there it is right there. What's the attire of a harlot? Well, it's got to be something. "With the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him, kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love unto the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. My husband's not around right now. We can just hang out and have a good time. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. A wicked woman has ruined a lot stronger men than you and me, buddy. You better stay as far away from these modern, feministic, liberal, wicked, ungodly women as you can. Stay as far away as you can. Young men, what they need to do is grow up innocent with an idea of what they're going to do to make a living, to provide for their families, and an idea of what they're going to do to serve the Lord, idea of what they're going to do and how they can be a blessing to their church and how they can further the gospel, and grow up innocently and then meet a girl that's just as clueless as they are. Amen? Be very wise toward the things of God, very simple towards the way of the world. One man said, you both need to be so clueless that whenever you get to the marriage altar, you're so clueless that whenever you kiss on your wedding day, neither of you knows which way to twist your head. And that'd be a blessing. If you grow up that clueless and that innocent, that wise in the ways of God, and that simple in the ways of the world, that'll be a blessing to you. That'll be a real blessing to you. But you think you're strong enough to handle an ungodly, wicked woman? You ain't stronger than Herod. He was running the government. He was the king. He was running everything at this time. Amen? And Herodias trained her daughter in the art of ruining men. And you better believe that there are women out there in this world today that will train their daughters, bring their daughters up, and train them on how to deceive and manipulate and ruin men. Teach them how to manipulate and destroy their testimony and destroy their home and destroy them financially and take everything they've got. That is a fact in this day. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 says, and she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Now, I believe she's a young girl. I don't believe she's grown making her own decision. I believe she's a young girl. Because it says in verse 24, she asked her mother. If she was 23, 24, 25, if she was 35 or 40, she wouldn't be asking her mama what she thought. She'd be doing what she wanted to do. But she's so young, she doesn't know what to do. So she asked mama, what do you think I should do? What should I do? Now, here she is, this young girl. She can have half the kingdom. She can have half of what Herod has got, up to half his kingdom. But we see right here just what hate will do to somebody. Herodias hates John the Baptist, hates the man of God, and hates the truth that he has preached to her husband so much that whenever her daughter, her own daughter, could have half the kingdom, she throws that out the window and says, ask for the head of John the Baptist. You ever see a woman get bitter in church? Woman that's got a good life, got a good husband that's got a good job, got a good living, got all the clothes that she wants, drives a nice car, lives in a nice house, but yet the preacher preached one thing that crosses her wrong, and suddenly all she can think about is how much she hates that preacher and wants to get rid of that preacher. One thing hit her wrong. Just because, you know, he preached against me whenever I was wanting to get remarried. That's what Herodias said. He preached against me getting remarried whenever I want to get remarried. I told him that it was God's will, and I told him we were in love, and I told him, you know, this is what I believe the Lord wanted, and he preached against me, and now I'm going to get rid of that preacher. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 25. It says, and she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. That's really sick, isn't it? I mean, when you really think about it, that's pretty sick. Here you've got probably a teenage girl asking for the severed head of a man in a charger on a plate to walk around with. That's sick, ain't it? Now, I want you to think about this. The Bible's a powerful book, and it's very powerful in what it says. Isn't that right? But it's also very powerful in what it doesn't say too. Because I want you to think about what a normal, living, breathing young girl would do in the presence of the severed head of a human being. Somebody was to walk in the back door of this church this morning and walk in carrying the severed head of a person with a bloody neck and twitching eyeballs, sick and dripping everywhere. What would most, really anybody, but especially a young girl, do in a situation like that? Be finding them a door to get up out of here, man. Be finding them a place to go. Be covering their eyes. Be, you know, distraught and be concerned and be, you know, very stirred and concerned and you know, over what they are seeing. That's what a normal girl would do. But evidently, this woman Herodias, had taken her daughter to so many things and exposed her daughter to so many things. Evidently, they'd been down to the gladiator fights so many times and seen men hacked to death at the gladiator fights and all the events. And evidently, they'd watched so many TV shows and so many movies and been exposed to so many video games and been exposed to so much wickedness and ungodliness that asking for the severed head of a man just really didn't bother her that much anymore. You know, they talk about years ago, and I'm not old enough to remember this, but they say years ago, all the boys went to school with a gun rack in the back of their truck and a shotgun hanging on their gun rack. And nobody thought twice about pulling that thing down and blowing somebody's head off. Nobody ever thought about doing that. Now, something has changed from now, you know, from 30 years ago, or whenever it was, you know, like that. I mean, something's changed. And it ain't the water, and it ain't the food, and it's not whatever somebody else could say it is. I tell you what it is, people have been desensitized to murder and violence, homicide, wickedness. We have been so exposed to these things over and over and over, and we are paying to pipe that filth into our homes, and we're putting our children before it, and we're setting them before the altar of the television, and having them filled full of all that wickedness all the time, where people are desensitized, and it's nothing to take somebody else's life. It's nothing to pull the trigger on somebody. It's nothing to stab somebody. It's nothing to take what somebody else has. That's nothing anymore. We've seen it day in and day out for 20 years. Amen? They're equating what's going on now and the economic conditions now with this virus going on. They're talking about like how it's the Great Depression, but it's going to be way worse than the Great Depression. I promise you that. Back in the Great Depression, people still had morals and they were still teaching the Bible and praying in the schools. Nowadays, folks will be killing each other like dogs in the street because we've had 45 years of murder and violence and wickedness put before us day in and day out. And used to, young girls were raised up by their mothers to bake cookies and wear dresses and mother baby dolls and write poetry and do, you know, girl stuff. Now, they sit next to their brother on the couch and they shoot bazookas and tanks and blow people's heads off, and it's blood and gore and guts all the time. Amen. And that's exactly where Herodias' daughter was. And this is modern motherhood. You know, it's a really old, outdated, old-fashioned word nowadays? Ladylike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Whatever happened to girls and mothers teaching their daughters to be ladylike?
Oh, that's right.
My wife told me something. This has been a long time ago, and I hope she's not embarrassed me telling this, but if she is, she'll have to get over it. I'm sure she isn't. Probably back whenever we were courting. I don't even know that we were married. We were courting. We were talking. And she talked about riding the lawnmower with her father. You know, that's what kids like to do. You know, dad's cutting the grass. They like to go jump on the tractor or jump on the mower with dad and cut the grass. And her brother would jump on there with him, would ride, and he would ride straddling his dad's knee, you know, straddling his leg, you know. And Hannah said she used to try to jump on the tractor and used to ride the same way. She saw her brother ride, and her dad wouldn't let her do that. He'd make her sit with both legs to one side with her legs together like a lady would sit. Like a lady that's wearing a dress, wearing a skirt would sit, you know. Why? Because that's ladylike. That's what's ladylike. See, we've come to this day where this liberal feminist philosophy, that's caught on in the church house too. Where the women ought to be able to do everything a man can do. We ought to be able to be just like the men.
Yes, sir.
And you know, if we can't do it just like the men can, then nobody should be able to do it.
Right. Right.
There was a time whenever being ladylike was valued, highly valued, highly esteemed. There was a time whenever men would hold the door for a lady and stand when a lady entered the room and wouldn't cuss in front of a lady and wouldn't spit in front of a lady and wouldn't do a lot of things in front of a lady. Now the women do as much or more of that stuff than the men do. They cuss and spit and fight and act crazy worse than the men. Whatever happened to, if you can't do it and be ladylike while you do it, you shouldn't do it. Whatever happened to that?
Amen.
You know where all this has come from? It's come from modern motherhood. Modern. Modern. Liberal. Which is just a way of saying, no God. So evidently she'd been exposed to all these things, and it looks to me like her mother probably taught her all this. Verse number 28, it says, he brought his head to the in a charger, gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. Boy, what a pair. What a pair. What a pair. I say, if you have a mother, if you have a mother this morning that through the years has made you do right, whether you're a boy, whether you're a girl, through the years, God, your mother, your parents have made you do right, made you live right, whether you received it or rejected. They made you. They made you go to church. See, I was drugged as a kid. I was drugged to church every time the doors were open. Amen. And if you had a parent that you ought to praise God and thank the Lord, you could have had a wicked Herodias. Now, very quickly, we're going to see the other side of this thing. Turn to chapter 7. I'm just going to read you this. We're going to look at this very quickly, and then we're done this morning. Mark chapter 7, one chapter over. Look in verse number 24. It says, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, entered a house, and would have no man known it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. I think it's interesting that the Bible doesn't really even mention this woman's name. We don't, as far as I know, the Bible never mentions this woman's name. Anyway, all we know her as is the Syrophoenician woman. She wasn't interested in everybody knowing her name. She was full of humility. She came and fell at the Lord's feet. And I think this is true. I think this woman here, this Syrophoenician woman, the Bible says her daughter had an unclean spirit. She had a demonic spirit in her, controlling her. Isn't it something how this woman's daughter in chapter 7 was better off? She winds up better off with an unclean spirit and a decent mother than what Herodias' daughter was without an unclean spirit and a rotten mother. It is easier to get rid of devils than it is to get rid of the influence of ungodly parenting. Easier to get rid of devils than the influence of ungodly parents. The Bible says she had heard of him. That is, she didn't know him. She didn't know a lot of things about him. She couldn't have passed a Bible Institute test. She couldn't quote all the verses and couldn't quote all the books of the Bible. She had just simply heard of him. She had heard of this man, Jesus. And, you know, here she is. She's got this child with this unclean spirit, this daughter with this unclean spirit. She's not moving toward another woman's husband. She's moving towards Jesus. She's moving to get in the path of Jesus. And the Bible says she fell at his feet. She fell as it. Look at the contrast here. Now, can you imagine back in chapter 6, could you imagine a Herodias, that class of woman, falling at the feet of a man, begging for help? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine modern motherhood doing that? Could you imagine Nancy Pelosi doing that? Could you imagine Hillary Clinton doing that? Could you imagine all these celebrities and all these movie star women and all these, you know, musician women and all these, you know, all that's going on. Could you imagine the modern motherhood, the modern woman falling at the feet of a man asking for help? Well, that's what this woman did. I want to say this. If you've ever found your mother on her knees at an altar or on her knees somewhere calling out to God, begging God for help, begging the Lord to help her son, begging the Lord to help her daughter, begging the Lord to keep the devil out of her home, keep the devil out of her family, you better praise God for that. You could have a Herodias. Amen? I tell you, in the public high schools, in the universities, they are preaching day and night that men are bad, men are oppressive, women are strong, women are powerful, women don't need a man. Where's it got us? Where's it gotten us? Look around. Where's it gotten us? The Bible says in verse 26, she was a Greek. The woman was a Greek, it says, a Syrophoenician by nation. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She was a Greek. She's not part of the chosen nation. She has no covenant claims to what the Lord was doing at this time. But the Bible says here, though, that in the latter part of the verse, that she besought him for half the kingdom. Nope. Not for half the kingdom. Not for a shopping spree. Not for a yacht, not for a big vacation. The Bible says she just simply besought him to get the devil away from her children. Lord, get the devil away from my child. I don't want the devil to get my child. Verse 27 says, but Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Well, that sounds kind of harsh, don't it? Verse 28, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And I find it very interesting. The Bible doesn't even mention this woman's name. And matter of fact, whenever you turn back to chapter 6 and see what the preacher said to Herodias, it wasn't near as bad as what Jesus said to this woman. He wasn't even talking to Herodias. He was talking to her husband. Yet it filled her so... See, what that is, that's that pride and a haughty spirit. Just like what we see today in modern motherhood, modern femininity. It's that pride and haughty spirit that says, bless God, you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me who I can and can't marry. You're not going to tell me what I can and can't wear. I'm going to kill that preacher. I'm going to ruin him. And what Jesus said to this lady, boy, it seems like it was way worse. He called her a dog. He said, like, I mean, you're a dog. I don't owe you anything. I don't have to give you anything. You're a dog. You deserve nothing. And you see how she responded? She just rolled over and said, you're right. You're right, Lord. Lord, you're right. I don't deserve anything. You don't owe me anything. But if you please just help my daughter. If you please just keep the devil away from my children, away from my family. I think about some of the godliest women in the world who will be out serving the Lord and witnessing with a pocket full of tracts and a smile on their face, dressed modest, living for God. And how, I mean, I've seen it, man. Out on the street witnessing things like that, serving the Lord, dressed right, living right, and these lesbians and these career women, business women, worldly women, college girls, how they'll come up, and they'll come by and they'll insult them, and they'll make fun of them, and they'll mock them and ridicule them. They'll say, well, why are you dressed like that? Why do you fix your hair like that? Why are you doing what you're doing? And with a smile on their face, they're just glad to be out serving the Lord because He's washed away their sins. Isn't that exactly the way it is? Now I want you to understand that Jesus isn't being rude here. And it's never right to say rude and crude and, you know, things about when make obnoxious statements about it. That's never right. And Jesus is not doing that here. Jesus is saying to her that what He has, He's saying, this is not for the Gentiles. You are a Gentile and this is not for you. But we see in verse 29, He said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. She asked nothing for herself, just for her daughter. Don't you see the stark contrast between modern motherhood that we see in Mark 6 and godly motherhood that we see in Mark 7? This Syrophoenician woman that just simply came humbly at the feet of Jesus. Mark 6, we see a tabloid life. We see a savage, cruel, wicked life. But in Mark chapter 7, we see a godly mother just seeking the grace and mercy of Jesus. It says in verse 30, and when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Do you know that having the devil out of your home and having the devil staying away from your children, my children, having the devil stay out of our families and out of our homes, that is worth more than Herod's kingdom. That is worth far more than Herod's kingdom. And I tell you, for a parent, father or mother, to be able to go home this evening after church, when the sun's gone down, and your children, my children, have been put to bed, and for us to be able to walk into their room and open their door, and have the light from the hallway shine into their room, and to see them laying in that bed, sound asleep, not worried about what's going to happen to them, not worried about what alcohol is going to do in their home that night, not worried about what man mom's going to bring home that night, not worried about what dad might get drunk and do that night. But they can lay there, sound asleep, without a worry in the world and a care in the world, with a smile on their face, because they've gone to sleep after praying and calling on the Lord, and they've sung songs about Jesus, and they've served the Lord today and worshiped the Lord today, and they've seen mom and dad pray, and they've seen mom and dad praise, and they've seen mom and dad worship the Lord and praise the Lord, and they can go to sleep at night with a smile on their face and peace in their heart. It's worth more than the devil could ever give you, friend. It's worth more. And the young men here, you ought to thank the Lord that you had a godly mother. If you had a godly mother instead of a Herodias, you ought to thank God. If you're a young lady here and you wouldn't know what in the world to do, if you had to dance to please a man, you wouldn't know what to do. If you weren't comfortable with the severed head of a man on a charger in your lap, you ought to thank God for a godly mother that you haven't been exposed to the things that a lot of young girls have been exposed to and taught in this day. You ought to thank God. Because there's a stark contrast in modern motherhood and in godly motherhood. It's a big difference. And so may we all purpose in our hearts. May the mothers purpose in their hearts to be like that woman in Mark chapter 7. May we all purpose in our hearts to be like that woman in Mark chapter 7. Humble at the feet of Jesus. Seeking His favor, seeking His grace, seeking His mercy. To keep the devil out of our homes, keep the devil out of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. May we purpose in our hearts to be like that woman. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Brother Ernest is going to get us a song. I'm going to have a time of invitation. Maybe the Lord's dealt with your heart, done some things in your heart. You need to come to the altar and do business with God this morning. I'd ask you to do what God have you to do as we sing. Number 17. She's going to begin to play. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And the altar will be open if you'd like to come do business with God this morning. Father, we come before Your throne of grace. I want to thank You for being good to us and loving us. Thank You for letting us be in Your house. Pray that You'll bless Your word. Pray, Lord, that it'll go out in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. You do work in our hearts. And I pray for that one here this morning that You have convicted their heart. Lord, that You would give them the faith, the grace that it takes, Lord, to submit to You. Lord, I pray that they'd find themselves humbly at the feet of Jesus. Lord, falling at Your feet. Lord, not proud and haughty, but Lord, receiving the Word, receiving that conviction. Lord, placing it all on the altar, Lord, that they might be what You want them to be. Lord, I pray for that one here that might be lost. Lord, some way, somehow, Your Spirit has taken this message and revealed to them, Lord, that they're lost and need a Savior. I pray, Lord, that You would draw them to the foot of the cross. Pray that You would help them, Lord, to deal with their sin. Lord, give them grace. Lord, do a work of grace, work of mercy in their heart. Lord, help them to repent. Call on You to be saved this morning, Lord, knowing that You love them enough to die for them on an old rugged cross. You're willing and ready, Lord, to accept them, to receive them, if they'll just come to You. Father, I pray that You just do that work here among us that only You can do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.